Grace be unto you, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Epistle lesson, famous, beautiful passage, Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. This is the text. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, do give us humble and thankful hearts that we are people that are free, as by your grace we know the truth so beautifully proclaimed by your servant Martin Luther. We're so thankful for the fullness of the beautiful gospel. Saved by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who suffered, died, and rose again. Lord, keep and strengthen us in this faith. And to that end, now bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts for our soul's good and to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Friends, in the Mid-South, historically, Lutherans haven't been too common. I can remember years ago in the place where I grew up, Birmingham, Alabama, and I told my friends I was a Lutheran. And I can remember, Lutheran? What's that? Anybody ever been asked, a Lutheran, what's that? Who are the Lutherans? Do you believe in Luther? You believe in a man, in his teachings, a man's teachings? You're called Lutheran? Yes, but we hasten to say we don't believe in Luther, but with Luther, we believe in the authority of Scripture, God's holy, inspired, and unerring word, and the heart and the core of that book, which set forth the Christian faith. The heart and the core of it is set forth in this text, that we're finally saved, justified by faith. By grace through faith, not by the works of the law, not by keeping the law, not even by doing good works. We're justified. Imagine most of you know that simple definition to the word justify. What does it mean to be justified? I always like to recall it. Kind of a big word in a way, but it is to be justicified, never sin. That's what it means, very simply. As by faith we look to Jesus, we are justified. God looks at us for the sake of Christ as if we're just as if we'd never sinned. And so on this 495th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, we do well to pause and say again, who are we Lutherans? What does it mean to be called after Martin Luther back in the 16th century? He was born, you know, November the 10th, 1483. That, of course, was 9 years before Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. He was brought up, of course, by very pious parents in the church of that day, the Roman Church, the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. And in that day, the gospel in that church was in short supply. At Christmas time, for instance, you might think, oh, nice to sing of Christ, but they had been taught in the school to fear Christ. Here are the words of Luther. It wasn't a source of joy to hear, "Under you was born this day in the city of David the Savior, Christ the Lord." Here's what he says. "From youth, I was trained to turn pale at the very mention of Christ's name, for I was instructed to regard him as a severe and angry judge. We were all taught that we had to atone for our own sins, and because we could not do this, we were directed to the saints in heaven and advised to invoke dear Mother Mary to pacify the wrath of Christ and obtain mercy for us." That was how he was taught. That was inbred in his system. Christ was not a sweet and a beautiful name. And it was with this spiritual sensitivity that he grew up. And he had that inner yearning, as really finally everybody in a way does have, as Augustine put it in that classic quote, "The heart of man is restless until it rests in thee, O Lord." And there was certainly that restlessness in Martin Luther. How to be right with God, that burned within his system. Of course, as I understand, his father wanted him to be a lawyer, and he was a brilliant young man, and he went on and studied law. But one day on the way back to Erfurt, the University of Erfurt, Germany, a very great thunder and lightning storm struck, and he just fell to the ground in terror. He was in fear for his life, and he wasn't ready to die. And he said, "Saint Anne, Saint Anne, save me. I'll become a monk." And though they tried, his friends tried to dissuade him from his oath, his promise, he would not be dissuaded. And so he entered an Augustinian monastery in Erfurt and became a monk. And going on, moving fast forward, in the process of things, he was able to study Scripture. He was made a doctor of divinity at the University of Wittenberg. And still, that question looms so large in his heart and in his mind. How to be right with God. And then, in Scripture, a passage such as this, which in German he translated, "justified by faith alone." Which is, of course, true. By grace through faith alone, without the works of the law. And there was another passage in Romans 1:17, that also reverberated in his heart and mind. "The just shall live by faith." You know, that must be a pretty important passage. That passage is 4 times in Scripture. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk 2. Hebrews 10, Galatians 3, and Romans 1. And that passage also reverberated in his heart and in his mind and in his innermost being, "The just shall live by faith." And then moving on, in 1517, there came to nearby towns one John Tetzel. John Tetzel, a monk, kind of a stooge of the Pope and archbishops and so forth. And there were indulgences that the Pope had decreed should be sold to provide funds for the building of St. Paul Cathedral in Rome. And the indulgence, it was really considered to be time off in purgatory. Of course, false teaching. But that was the teaching and understanding. An indulgence grants you time off from the temporary punishment for sin. And even you could be out of purgatory if you bought enough indulgences, or even for your loved ones in purgatory, give and buy indulgences. As there was that cute little saying to the effect, different little versions or translations, but to the effect, as soon as the coin rings in the chest, the soul flies up to heavenly rest. At any rate, Luther got word of this. And there were even some of his members that were buying this, and as if they could essentially have forgiveness for sins they intended to commit. And so he proceeded, for the sake of a debate, for disputation, to write those 95 theses, those 95 sentences, which included such thoughts as our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent, repent ye," he meant that the whole life of the Christian is to be one of repentance. And to the effect also that indulgences, if you are buying the whole lot and you have no penitence, and of course faith in Christ, you don't gain heaven, you're doomed to hell. And that the true treasure of the church is the gospel. That's what he preached and proclaimed. That's what he wrote in those 95 theses or sentences that he was compelled to write and to then affix to kind of the town bulletin board on the eve of All Saints' Day, October 31st, 1517, 495 years ago today. He affixed them on the church door, and they proceeded to spread like wildfire, as he was becoming ever more convinced. The light of the gospel was beginning to burn bright in his heart and in his mind, as he would say, this is a beautiful little saying, "When by the Spirit of God I understood these words, the just shall live by faith, I felt born again like a new man. I entered through the open doors into the very paradise of God." That's Martin Luther. And again, fast forward a bit. The word got back even to the Pope in Rome about this monk that he thought must just be intoxicated, a little too much to drink, and when he sobers up, he'll rethink his position. After all, there had been burnings, burning at the stake of heretics, those that dared to speak against the church at Rome. But Luther would not be quiet. There were those that came. There was Cajetan, a cardinal, trying to dissuade Luther. Miltitz, Dr. John Eck, all trying to dissuade him. Word got back to the Pope in Rome, and he proceeded then to excommunicate Luther. Luther proceeded to burn the document of excommunication in a public fire. That was Dr. Martin Luther, after whom we Lutherans are named. Finally, there was to be one more chance. And so we would fast forward just a bit to April 17th and 18th, 1521. There was to be a diet, another word for a council, in the city of Worms. Worms, Germany. W-O-R-M-S, pronounced Worms. Right, Elizabeth? And there he was to meet with the emperor and representatives of the pope. And he was going, even though they said, don't go. And he's reported to have said, if there are as many devils in Worms as there are on tiles on the roof, I will still enter. And so he did. And there on a table before him were his books, his writings, pamphlets, and all. And they wanted him to recant, to deny them, to refute them. But he was wanting really to debate, to have them have him shown where they were against Scripture. Of course, they would have none of that. They wanted immediate recantation. Luther did ask that they would give him yet a night. And so they did. And the next day, April the 18th, 1521, he came before this august assembly, civil and ecclesiastical leaders, recant. Give us a short, simple answer. And again, there are different little versions, but here's the classic answer. That on a festival of the Reformation, we do well to remember the courage, the boldness, the conviction of that man after whom we are named. He said, you want a plain answer? Since your imperial majesty desires a clear, simple, and precise answer, I will give you one which has neither horns nor teeth, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by patent, clear, and cogent reasons and arguments, for I believe neither the Pope nor the councils alone, since it is evident they have often erred and contradicted themselves. And because the passages adduced and quoted by me have convinced and bound my conscience in God's word, therefore I cannot and will not recant, since it is neither safe nor advisable to do anything against conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. That was the confession of Martin Luther there at the Diet of Worms in April of 1521. And of course, we won't go into all the details. It's a most interesting biography to read or a movie to see. The life of Martin Luther. But the word continued to spread, and many were called Lutherans that followed him, even originally by some of his detractors. Who are those Lutherans? And he proceeded to say, I don't want to have you called Lutheran, just Christian. But of course, the name proceeded to stick, and it has come on down to us today. But to Luther's dismay and chagrin, just less than a generation, in 1541, here was a comment by Luther that I think that we can take to heart today and see whether or to what extent it applies to us. He said, we Germans, and many of us here are German in background, we Germans have heard the word of God now for many years, by which God, the Father of all mercies, enlightens us and calls us from the abominable darkness and idolatry of the papacy into the light of his holy kingdom. But today, it is a horrible sight to see how thankless and ungrateful we have been toward it. I say this would be certainly a point of application and introspection for us today. That how well do we, maybe lifelong, natural-born Lutherans, how well do we appreciate the wonderful, beautiful gospel that we do have? Yes, the law is set forth, and rightly and fully and truly so. We're sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We can't stand in his presence because of our sins that we have already rightly confessed and been absolved of. Yes, but we know above all the continuing grace and mercy of God. That we have that light, light out of darkness. We have that blessed freedom, freedom from sin with its consequences, its guilt, its burden, its real power. Freedom from the devil we have within us by the power of the indwelling Christ, something of the power to say, no, we're not under the devil's control. We belong to Jesus Christ, free from his power, his control, his dominion, free from death. We don't have to worry about physical death because eternal death and damnation, it has no power over us. It need be a no cause of fear. We have eternal life. Heaven is waiting as we die in the Lord, washed clean from our sins, facing him with the righteousness of Christ. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And in that we live. We say, may the indictment of Martin Luther against many in his day not be against us today. Ungrateful, unthankful, apathetic, indifferent, but rather rejoicing in the blessed treasure that we have, but again, not just to hold and admire and personally rejoice in, but a little the better to share with others. So that if ever you're asked, a Lutheran, what's a Lutheran? And you can say, we don't believe in Luther, but with Luther, we believe in the authority of Scripture, God's holy word, and that on the basis of that word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we trust God's Son as our Savior from sin, whose blood has made us right with God, that's affirmed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we be willing to give such a witness and a testimony, maybe even if not asked. And then to God the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. And to that we say, amen and amen. And now we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, a life everlasting. Amen.